May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 389. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. Hymn 389.
6, and this evening we will begin reading at verse 35. So, the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and beginning to read at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learnt of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may he now help us in prayer. Almighty, most merciful Lord, we ask thy blessing to rest on the service of thy house this evening. May our gathering be unto thee our heavenly Shiloh, for unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Oh, may it truly be hungry and poor, and lame and blind, hither the blood-bought children fly, in thy deep wounds a balsam find, and live while they behold thee die. Do in thy mercy teach us to pray. We thank thee for the privilege of prayer, and yet how backward our hearts so often are. We thank thee for the mercy seat sprinkled with blood, the throne of grace, the promise of mercy, and grace to help in time of need. So do lead our thoughts in prayer and in true worship. May we be true worshippers, worshipping at Emmanuel's feet. And may we know something of the sweet constrainings of thy love, of which we have been singing. How backward is our heart. And we do need those gracious constrainings the heavenly drawings. Draw me, we will run after thee. O may our affections be set on things above, not on things beneath. Deliver us from carnality and being earthly minded. We do pray thou wilt hold us fast, keep us close to thyself, and give us that real religion, true repentance, living faith, to turn from sin to God, and oh, to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Lead us by faith to Calvary, to see mercy streams in streams of blood. Oh, lead us to the empty tomb, and to the Mount of Olives, and up into heaven, to see by faith him that God hath exalted as a prince and a saviour. Oh, may we not be strangers to him. We pray we might know the wonders of his love. May we ever meet at thy feet in humble thanksgiving. Make us mindful of those less favoured than we are. For much less than others we deserve, yet thou hast given us more. Oh, do spread the gospel table this evening. May peace and pardon, love and blood be food for dying souls. And grant thy blessing in this sanctuary. May the streams of that sacred river freely flow. May sinners be brought into the banqueting house, and thy banner over them love. Shut out the world, shut us in with thyself. And may there be a people here formed for thyself, who shall show forth thy praise. That gracious preparation and moulding of sinners' hearts, we pray that those in nature's darkness and death might be quickened into life and saved by thy grace. Bless each seeking, longing soul. Feed the souls of thy people, we pray, with the bread of life. And those who have waited long, like the man at Bethesda's pool, may they hear that word, rise, take up thy bed and walk, and be made humble followers of the Lord the Lamb. May blind eyes be opened, and sinners be able to say feelingly, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And may there be many here who shall be sweetly enabled to hold fast by that word, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honour dwelleth. So do bless the preaching of the gospel within these walls, we pray. Bless the ministers who come to labour in the vineyard, and may their labours not be in vain. Send them the help they need from the sanctuary. Strengthen them out of Zion. May there be more of a spirit of gospel liberty in our churches. So remember our ministers and our congregations. Bless the Sabbath school here, we pray. And do bless the young people and the children and the little ones. Though I said I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. Oh, may there be many of those early seekers, and we pray through grace there might be many finders. So do help those who teach the children, and be with the young people. May they be brought to points who is on the Lord's side. Let him come hither after me. Bless those who may be entangled with the world, who of necessity have to meet with the world. We pray for aged ones, and those who are not yet aged, but with whom it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And do comfort troubled hearts. Be with those, whatever their sadness or disappointment is, for the heart knows its own bitterness, and in mercy and thy loving compassion, thou dost as well. So remember any who are unwell. Be with parents bringing up children, and in all their varying concerns, and the children and young ones as they go to school in this degenerate age. We pray thou wilt be their sovereign protector, unseen, yet for ever at hand. Bless thy people everywhere, we pray. And as collections are held for the Trinitarian Bible Society, we ask thee to bless that witness. May thy word, the entrance of thy word, give light and give understanding to the simple. We pray in this dark, degenerate day, thou wilt in mercy appear and do uphold thy people. May they prove that beautiful word, come, my people. Enter thou into thy chambers. Shut thy doors about thee. May they prove thy presence there. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. We feel there is a lot of indignation about, but thou hast promised the wrath of man shall serve thee, and the remainder of wrath thou wilt restrain. We pray through thy mercy that it might be so. Bless the preaching of thy word this evening. We do ask that it might be in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. May there be the moving of thy spirit, the flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. And may we by faith enter in to those things we speak and hear. May we know what it is to possess our possessions, because we have to mourn how little we know and how much less we feel. and have to repeat that prayer, that which I know not, teach thou me. Oh, we do ask whatever is wanting, may thy grace supply. And above all, prepare us for the great day, to be clothed in the Saviour's righteousness, our sins forgiven, washed in the Saviour's blood, that day may not come upon us unawares. We pray, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn 376. Lord, I cannot let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. Hymn 376.
Thank you.
Lord's help. I will speak to you once again this evening from John chapter 6. This evening, speaking from verse 37. So, the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Many years ago, I was asked to speak for the Sovereign Grace Union at Biddenden in Kent. And they gave me a subject. The subject was this: free election known by calling. Of course, it's a line from one of our hymns. Free election known by calling. But really, that's a summary of what the opening words of that text are. Free election, all that the Father giveth me, known by calling, shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me in eternity past shall come to me in time. So, what a word this is. What a promise. No uncertainty here. No hints or suggestions of salvation. No offers. No leaving part of it to the sinner. There's a people eternally chosen. Love with an everlasting love. Given to Christ. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And all of them, every one of them at the appointed time, shall come to Christ. It's the well-known hymn that we sing. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the Lord, to the fold, and enter in. There's no uncertainty here. This is covenant salvation. These are covenant promises. There's a sure and uncertain forgiveness. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, as I tried to speak a little this morning, the living exercise with a living soul, whether old or young, is this. Here's a favoured people, an eternally blessed people. I see the beauty, I see the blessedness of it, but I want to be one of them. But how may I know whether I am or not? Who are they? Well, here we're told, all that the Father giveth me, the Lord's chosen. Those given to him, those that Christ redeemed by his precious blood, this is how they can be known, that one by one they shall come to Christ. And they shall come there as brought there. They don't come from a choice of their own free will. They come there because they're brought there. And this is the mark of their eternal election. You see, all these given ones are coming ones. And all these coming ones are the given ones. And then the seal is put upon it. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, when I was young, and when I was first spiritually concerned, I remember on one occasion talking about these things, and I made this remark. Though God's election is a truth, small comfort there I see, till I am told by God's own mouth that he has chosen me. Now, someone graciously, quietly took me aside, and he said this: there are not many of the Lord's favoured people who hear a clear voice telling them that the Lord has chosen them. Some are favoured like that, but not all, and not many. But the point is, concerning this elect people, to be one of them, that all of them, without exception, are brought to the Lord Jesus. Now, that was a word in season for me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You know, there's a lot of good divinity in that little children's hymn. Ye must be brought to Jesus. That's the vital necessity of coming to the Lord Jesus. And it's showing us the only way we can come, and that is by being brought. You see, there's a power divine here. The grace that chooses them, it brings them. Is that sweet constraining? In a word, beloved friends, it's this: thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. They're sovereignly brought. They're graciously brought. It's God's work. It's the Holy Spirit's work. Far off, depraved, and wont astray, they shall to Jesus come, for covenant love barks out the way and brings these outcasts home. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Joseph Irons, in one of his lesser-known hymns on this subject, he almost speaks of these two words, shall come, as if they're a person. He says, shall come will stop your feet. Shall come will alter the way that you're going. Shall come will bring you out of the world. Shall come will bring you to the Saviour. There's a lot of good divinity there. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They come because they're brought. They come because they're drawn. The old divines used to speak of it as effectual calling. Those of you who are theologians, it's one of the 5 points of Calvinism, isn't it? Effectual calling. It means there's a general call that people hear, but it's that effectual call. The Lord doesn't try to save. He doesn't suggest salvation. He doesn't offer salvation. He sovereignly saves by his grace. They shall come. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. But though we speak of them being brought and being drawn, I don't want you to think that it's something kind of mechanical or automatic or something they're not interested in or something they don't feel or against their will. Why? They come because the Holy Spirit brings them, but they come of vital necessity. They come of vital necessity. They must come to the Saviour. They're like the one who says to stay away, I must forever die. This is where salvation is. There's no hope, no salvation, no heaven without it. It's in the person of Christ. It's in the finished work of Christ. You think of the thousands since Adam fell. And they've been brought different ways. They've all come to the same place. They shall come unto me. You know, as a pastor of over 50 years, I've heard a lot of testimonies, what the Lord has done. And they've all been different. Some have been very deep, very solemn. Some have been very simple, very gentle. Some have been long, some have been short, but every single one comes to this same place, brought to the Saviour. Every one of them. They all declare, all of them, I nothing am, my all is bound up with the Lamb. So, if you're one of these favoured people, there'll be many things in your religion, but this will be the vital thing. One thing is needful, and it will be this. As you were brought as a sinner to Jesus, all that the Father giveth me shall come. And this is the vital point. They shall come unto me. And the Lord Jesus sweetly invites them. He doesn't invite them because they know that they're chosen. He invites them because they feel their need. And so he kindly says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And then what a promise. And I will give you rest. They shall come unto me, says the Lord Jesus, even unto me. They shall come as sinners, feeling their need as sinners, They shall come in complete dependence. They shall come because there's nowhere else that they can go. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So they shall come to Jesus' feet. They shall come out of the world. They shall come away from their idols, come away from a false profession, come away from a take-it-for-granted religion. They shall come with nothing for Christ to be everything. They shall come. They shall come in prayer. They shall come in longing desire. They shall come on mercy's ground, seeking mercy. They shall come with the blood of Christ as their only plea. They shall come looking to the cross. In a word, it's this. They shall come, lo, glad I come. And thou, blessed Lamb, oh, take me to thee as I am. Nothing but sin to thee I give. Nothing but love shall I receive. That's the religion that takes a sinner to heaven. And that's a good definition. A good definition of what real faith is. They shall come to me. Now, they shall certainly come to the Saviour, and they shall certainly come for salvation. Pondering on this, I've thought of so many wonderful things in which sinners, as they're led by the Spirit of God, come to Christ. But, you see, we could speak of a great and glorious high priest. We could speak of the Lamb of God. We could speak of the rock foundation. We could speak of the Good Shepherd. We could go into all these things. But I'm rather fearful of this. The older I get, we do need to be careful that we don't chalk down two lines, as Huntington said, and bid the Lord walk between them, because he never will. His way is different to ours and better than ours. What I'm thinking of, our dear old friend, Mr. Fred Gurney, he was tried much of his godly life. He said, how I came as a 16-year-old boy in Biggleswade, feeling the greatness of my sin and need. He said, I looked up to heaven. He said, I saw Christ as my glorious righteousness. He said, I've never heard anybody speak like that. Well, they said, yeah, but you must come here, or you must come there. But I haven't been here, I haven't been there. I had another case in the early years of my pastorate. Someone came to me, and he'd heard these people, one feeling he'd been brought this way and another brought that way. And he said, I can't really say that I've been brought there like this one or there like someone else. And really, what his experience was, and I felt it was a good one. And here's really What the hymn writer expresses, we first freely, after Jesus' reach, and richly grasp the whole. You know, some, it's not so much this point of doctrine or that relationship of the Saviour that covenant office he sustains. But, you know, it's those two words, Jesus only. The Mount of Transfiguration, they saw no man save Jesus only. And that's a good religion. It perhaps doesn't know this. Perhaps doesn't know something else, but it sees such a beauty and glory and such a suitability in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. And after Jesus reaches and richly grasps the whole, they shall come to me, to me. Now, it's a person. But let's just be clear. It's not just being brought to the Lord Jesus. It's teaching. Not just being brought to the Lord Jesus as an example. It's being brought to Jesus as a Saviour, an almighty Saviour. It's being brought as a sinner to find everything in him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's it. Ye must be brought to Jesus, even to me. Now, I said just now that I had thought about a sinner being brought in all these different ways to the Lord Jesus. Some as a high priest, some in the greatness of his love, some to see him as a shepherd, and all these different things. And I said that I felt it wise not to speak about all these different things, because a person may feel, well, I've never been led into this, and I haven't been led into that. It's just Christ, and Christ alone. Of course, it must be Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. Not a dead Christ, but a Christ who was crucified and who's risen again. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, to me. But there is one thing in the context. And I do feel the context is important. What is the subject? What's the theme? What was the Lord Jesus speaking about when he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, to me? Who is this who he's speaking? What is he saying about himself? Well, the answer to that is very simple. In the context, in the passage, in the chapter, he's speaking of himself as the bread of life. The bread of life. So the vital point in the Saviour's own words here is a sinner comes to the Saviour because of his spiritual hunger and because he must be fed. And there's only one who can feed him. So the Lord Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You've got one thing clear here, the coming and the believing are one and the same thing. He that cometh to me shall not hunger. The Lord Jesus is speaking so graciously of his blessed ability to satisfy the deepest longing, the deepest need of a living soul. So all that the Father shall giveth me shall come to me who has just declared, I am the bread of life. Now, this comes down to points. Personal experience. The Word of God uses this expression, hungering. It's a strong desire. Naturally, if we're hungry, nothing else can satisfy us without being fed. People might give us something or do something else for us. If we're truly hungry, nothing will satisfy us unless we're fed. Now, this hungering, by nature, we hunger for all kinds of things. Some of them may be good things, and some religious things. But we hunger after the flesh. We hunger after carnal things. We hunger after the world. We hunger after our ambitions. We hunger after our idols. Oh, this hunger, and this inward hunger. All of us know something about it. These longings, these desires that all of us have by nature. Now, when the life of God is implanted in a sinner's heart, whatever there is or whatever there is not, there'll be a spiritual longing, a spiritual hungering. You see that newborn baby, he can't speak, so much he doesn't know, but he hungers, and he must be fed. And if he's not fed, he cries. And all this proves that he's been born, and all this proves that he's got life, and he can't be satisfied till he's fed. And that's a simple picture of the work of grace in a sinner's heart. Those holy hungerings of thy soul are not for mockery sent. He has prepared a royal feast to give thy soul content. They shall come to me with their longings, with their hungerings. They shall come to me, the only one who can satisfy them. They shall come to me as the bread of life. It's not just they shall come to chapel. They shall come to me. Oh, what a solemn point that there are many who all their lives come to chapel and are never brought to come to the Saviour. Now, there's no one else who can satisfy. There's none other name, but there's complete satisfaction, entire satisfaction in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and his finished work. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, this is a very strong word. I understand in the original it's something like this. I will never, no, never cast out. It's similar to what we sing. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. There's an emphasis upon it. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But there's a solemn thought lies behind this, isn't there? There's a depth beneath it, and it's a dark and solemn depth. What is it? There are some that the Lord Jesus will cast out. And that's exceedingly solemn. In the great day, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there will be many who he will cast out. There'll be some, we're told, they say, but Lord, we've prophesied in thy name. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. There are some of you here, beloved friends, surely, and the Lord Jesus can never, never, never say that to you, I never knew you. If he were to say that to you, you'd have to say, Lord, thou hast known my soul in adversity. Oh, but that solemn point, that great day when many will be cast out. We've only to think of scriptures like the wise and foolish virgin. And outwardly you couldn't see any difference. They were all virgins. Their outward profession was all right. They all carried lamps. The lamp of a profession. If you could have had a peep inside those lamps, you'd have seen the difference there. Some of them were stark empty. Now, it's a solemn thought. There will be some, there will be many, who will be cast out. But not one of those cast out will be amongst those who have savingly come to Jesus as their only hope. Those who were cast out in the great day, they never really said from their hearts, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. They never really felt, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Their humble confession was never, thou, O Christ, art all I want. May the Lord solemnize our minds and may he deliver us. May he prepare us now that in the great day we shall not be cast out. For him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Of course, the famous writing on this passage is John Bunyan. And he writes very beautifully. And he writes very quaintly, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He said, "Who is this him?" Well, he says, there have been some strange hymns who have come to Christ. Some poor, wretched hymns. Some lost, ruined, sinful hymns. But he hasn't cast them out. And if you go as a sinner, confessing your sin and resting on the merits of Jesus alone, if he were to cast you out, you would be the first one. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. It's the word of our Lord Jesus himself. It's his own sacred promise. I will in no wise cast out. But of course, this is put so strongly here in this negative. What the Lord won't do. It's a wonderful promise. What the Lord won't do, he'll never do. He won't cast this sinner out. But of course, there's so much more implied here. What? This poor, trembling, venturing sinner. The Lord won't cast him out. It means that he'll lovingly receive him. He'll graciously welcome him. Like Noah's weary dove returning to the ark, and Noah reached out his arms and pulled her in. There's a loving welcome for these poor, venturing, returning sinners whose only hope, whose only plea is in the Lord Jesus. Really, this is the glorious gospel of the grace of God. The loving welcome of a poor returning sinner. The rich provision that there is. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, unworthy, sinful, lost, vile in themselves, but everything in Christ, everything according to the riches of his grace. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And of course, in its fullness, this beautiful scripture looks forward to heaven. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That is, as sinners, they shall come to the Saviour, to his feet, seeking salvation. But in the last great day, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me in heaven. For unto him shall the gathering of the people be. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me then, and him in the last great day. The saved sinner's judge is his friend. His judge is his friend. Him that cometh unto me. The Lord Jesus can't cast that sinner away that is eternally loved, that he's died for, that his spirit has quickened. That one to whom he showed so much mercy, that one whose prayers he's answered, that one whose he's helped, that one whose needs he's supplied, that one he's given strength in the trying hour. How can he cast such a one out? Oh, there's that loving welcome here. Eternally, the Lord Jesus gives to those poor sinners whose only hope is in his blood. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me and him. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The beautiful little hymn in our hymn books, only two verses. And it's right on this very point. And you know, it has been made a help, a blessing to some. And it's this. Come, guilty souls, and flee away to Christ and heal your wounds. This is the welcome gospel day in which free grace abounds. God loved the church and gave his Son to drink the cup of wrath. And Jesus says he'll cast out none who come to him by faith. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out.
The collections last Lord's Day were £570, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess will preach next Lord's Day, and address the Sunday School in the afternoon, and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service, if the Lord will. The collection today is for the West Anglia Auxiliary of the Trinitarian Bible Society. Let us close with hymn 766. Sovereign grace, o'er sin abounding, ransom souls the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth or length can tell. On its glories let my soul for ever dwell. Hymn 766.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us forever. Amen.